Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Jamie Jennings, and I am broadcasting live from Galway Downs. I'm camping. I'm freezing. Wait, oh no, I'm in my trailer with the heat on. It's awesome.
And I'm Glenda Geek from Lexington, Kentucky, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for January 3rd, 2012. This episode is sponsored by Kentucky Performance Products. Good morning, horse world.
I can't take it anymore.
I would like, if I may, to take you on a strange journey.
We worked all week so that we can eat and own a little piece of God's ground. Pushing papers and pens, red tape never ends. The stress can turn a smile into a frown. I need some horsing around.
Well, good morning, everybody. It's Freestyle Friday, and Jamie is freestyling it today for sure, coming to us from her trailer. How are you, Jamie, out there in California?
I'm doing fantastic. You know, it has always been a dream of mine to compete on the East Coast and the West Coast, and I must say that this is kind of a big weekend for me. To come all the way out here, and I drove here by myself yesterday, threw my horse in the trailer, and we'll get to that in a second, and come on here and compete in California when I've competed in Georgia and up and down the East Coast, and to come here to California is really special and something I've always wanted to do, and this place, Galway Downs, is just spectacular. It's beautiful. It's wonderful. The barns are so nice. It's basically a racetrack that they have here, Glenn, that so all the barns are racehorse barns, so they have big shed rows and big walk-arounds and big storage, and just a fantastic place. I've been completely impressed with it.
Now, that's south of L.A., right?
Yeah. Remember when we were in Norco, California?
Yep.
Of course you do. It's about 45 minutes from here. So we're like 45 minutes southeast of Norco. Like, okay. When I was driving here, it's so weird to me being from the East Coast and now living out here in Arizona, is that I get on the freeway and all signs point to L.A. So it just seems crazy to me that I'm like heading towards Los Angeles. And then when I get about halfway here, three quarters of the way here, I have to get on a freeway that then points to San Diego. I'm like, where am I? Why am I over here? Why am I here? Because I have a husband who's here.
That's right.
Yep.
It is kind of surreal, though. You're absolutely right. When we were out there, it is kind of surreal when you're from the East Coast and you actually are out there and see the road signs for Los Angeles. It's just weird. I know.
Surreal is the perfect word, because that is how I feel when I'm driving out here. And, you know, you have to go through the ag station to get into California driving a horse, and they always stop you and see paperwork and blah, blah, blah. But it's just kind of cool to be like, I'm going to California. Crazy. Maybe that's
and
not
how
a big deal, but it is.
And Jeff's doing fine. Did you get to see him this morning, or haven't you been out of the trailer still in your pajamas?
I'm still in my pajamas. It's dark and cold. Remember, it is like 6:04 here. So
oh, that's true.
I, he doesn't even eat breakfast this early at home. He was doing good. You know, I just find it, horses are amazing. Let's just throw that out right now. Horses, I don't understand sometimes why they trust us and why they love us like they do. Because I'm going to tell you, if I was a horse and you told me to go over and walk towards a large, dark box and get in it and then drive somewhere that's going to be shaking me for 6 hours, I would be turn tail and run. And I just can't believe horses load into trailers, especially when the last time, Glenn, remember, I put him in this trailer and we came up here on a Saturday to school, and I put him in the trailer, and we ended up accidentally taking the mountain pass, which was completely a nightmare experience for my husband and I, much less for Jet. And I thought, well, he's never getting in that trailer again. And when we were going home, he was not going to get in. It took like 40 minutes to get him in. And so yesterday when I'm loading him up, I'm like, oh, God. And I was by myself. I'm like, oh, I'm going to be here forever. There's just no way this horse is getting in the trailer. So I have my little scoop of grain, and, you know, I've got him all. By the way, first time ever that I was able to wrap his back legs, put shipping boots.
Oh, really?
On.
You did it without getting kicked in the face? You still have your nose and your ears and stuff?
I still have all parts. I ended up doing, instead of the big scary shipping boots, I ended up putting on standing wraps. So he was a little more okay with that. But he still kicked and kicked and kicked and kicked after I got him on and he realized they were on. But I was far enough away. And then he got used to them. but I take him to the trailer, and I've got my little scoop of grain, and I'm like, oh, please, God, please, just get in the trailers. We got to go. I got a long drive. I don't want to sit here and get rope burned before I even leave my driveway. And I walk him up to it. He sniffs the grain. And he follows me right in. I was shocked. I'm like, you're the dumbest horse ever. I would never get back in that trailer. Ever. And they just do. It's pretty amazing.
Well, that's good. I'm glad you had a good trip up. And we're going to talk more about that particular show a little later today. And Jennifer's going to let us know what's coming up.
On today's Kentucky Performance Products Freestyle Friday edition, we embark on our horse-centric Friday hoopla with a little blooper mania. Compliments of Bit of Britain's product videographer, Amy Dragoo. She's here to spill the beans on the video foul-ups going on over there at Bit of Britain. Next up, Reese Kofler-Stanfield is here, because Jamie isn't, to provide a luscious recipe for New Orleans classic jambalaya. I can't wait to hear that. And to round out the Friday hoopla, the organizer of the Galway Downs horse trials, where Jamie is currently located in her mobile broadcast studio. We're going to be talking to Robert Kellerhouse, and he's going to be telling us about what it's like to run the Galway Downs horse trials when that rider is there. So stay tuned.
I think she means you.
I think so.
Thank you, Jennifer. My daily Winnie goes out to a lovely girl who wrote me an email by the name of Adrienne, and she is from England. She is a volunteer with the Northcote Heavy Horse Center in Great Steeping, Spilsby, Lincolnshire in the UK. Whew! And she was listening to the HeyNet show we had on the other day with the girl from hey-net.co.uk. And she is one of the bloggers that's on that site. And she also volunteers for this Northcote Heavy Horse Center. And they actually do rescues of heavy horses, of draft-type horses. And they were the ones that were having the Medieval Days banquet. And she just wrote to say thank you, and she appreciated the support. Apparently, that particular center is, you know, like all rescues right now, is struggling a bit. So she said that if I could mention them, she would appreciate it. I'm mentioning them. It's the Northcote Heavy Horse Center. And thank you to Adrienne. I hope you listen every day. We appreciate you a whole bunch. And
you know,
now it's – yeah, go ahead.
Well, just to say, you know, it's hard enough to rescue horses and feed regular horses. But, my God, they rescue draft horses and are feeding draft horses. Everything – with the draft horse is more expensive.
We used to, when we had our percherons, we used to feed a bale of hay a day to each percheron. That's what we fed. They ate a half a bale in the morning and a half a bale in the evening. And that, you know, that, because, but they, you know, ours were 2,000, you know, felt close, pretty close to, or a little over 2,000 pounds. So, but that's a lot of hay. It's very expensive. It's very expensive.
Yeah. God love them.
Yeah. Yep. All right. Your turn.
Well, in about 6 hours, six, five, something like that, my husband is getting on his, we were talking about this the other day, Glenn, about how my husband used to ride around on a motorcycle and pick up chicks, like in his flight suit, before he met me. My husband is getting on his motorcycle now, because I told you, life throws you curves, and I guarantee he never thought that he was going to get on his motorcycle and drive 6 hours to the middle of Temecula, California, to get and come to a horse show. I know he never envisioned that for his life. And the reason he's driving his motorcycle, so he can put it in the back of the trailer on the way home, and we can ride together. Now, that's a horse.
Well, that's cool. That's cool.
Yeah.
Does he have a big old Harley?
No, I wish it was a Harley, because then he'd go a little slower. It's not one of those, like, super crotch rockets where the speed are up behind his ears, you know, nothing like that. But it's called a Buell, and it's kind of a Italian super fast motorcycle, and he thinks he looks all sexy on it, and it just scares me to death. I've tried so many times to get the motorcycle out of the family, and it's kind of like telling me stop eventing, you know? Like, he loves driving his motorcycle. Like, he's
excited. Your horses. Same thing, huh?
Yeah. Exactly. It's dangerous. You can't do it. However, I'm not going, you know, 80 on the pavement with, you know, 4 inches between my foot and the ground. So I'm not excited about it, but I got to give him my daily whinny for making the effort. Definitely.
I kind of agree with you. I've ridden on motorcycles once or twice, and I wasn't a fan. I don't know. I need to have something around me that has airbags. I want airbags.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Well,
yeah.
The first time I rode on the back of it, and I've only ridden on the back of it twice, we were in our neighborhood, and he's like, I'll just give you a little ride. And because he bought me a helmet, and he's like, yeah, we'll ride together. Yeah, he learned. So I get on the back of it. And apparently, when you're on a motorcycle, you're supposed to lean into the turns. Well, being the equestrian...
Yeah, and you're not supposed to use outside leg because you get burnt that way.
Yeah. Every time he would go through a turn, he's like, what is going on? What is going on? Well, I was stepping into my outside stirrup to balance. And he's like, lean with the turn. I'm like, I can't. I'm not trained that way. He's like, never take horse chicks on motorcycles. Because it was just the complete opposite of whatever I'd ever done. So one other time, and it was because I had to, because I needed a ride, and that's all he had. But, oh, my God, I screamed the entire way. He's like, I have a helmet on, and I'm screaming so loud and grabbing him so tightly that he said his ribs were bruised and his ears, he was dead.
That's funny. And then you tend to, you know, I know, I had the same thing. I'm with you on the motorcycle thing. Hey, really bad ads. We're not going to be doing it this week. It'll be back again next week. I know that Jennifer said she's gotten a bunch of submissions, but we need some more. So if you could send your submissions to Jennifer@horseradionetwork.com with really bad ads in the subject line, she would appreciate getting some more of those. We're going to have a great prize for you next week, too. And all I'm going to say is it has a little bit to do with poo-poo. That's right. A little bit to do with poo-poo. And that's all I'm going to say right now. But it's going to be fun. You're going to want to participate and have the chance to win that prize next week. Also, the ESMA Awards, don't forget to vote for us in Category 19. If you haven't voted yet, hop on over to our website at horsesinthemorning.com. Great big banner in the middle of the page. Just click on that and go vote. And our next guest coming up here, too, I know that they were nominated. I believe they were nominated for an ESMA Award or two, so we can ask her about that. But also, I wanted to remind everybody that not too far from where Jamie is in Temecula, California, we had on last week the lady who runs the Horse Expo Pomona. And that is going on right now, today and tomorrow yet. in Pomona, California, right above Norco, and that's just to the west of L.A. So if you're out that way, hop on over to the Horse Expo Pomona. It's the first one there. It's the first time they're doing this particular one, and I know that our friend Lisa went over there yesterday, so we'll see how she made out. I think that's all fun.
I think west of L.A. is in the ocean.
Oh, how about east of L.A.? See, I'm thinking East Coast, right?
Just west of L.A., you just got to swim for it.
Yeah, the demonstrations, the clinics are going to be really cool. You really should check them out.
They'll be really tired by the time they get there, but it'll be good.
Hey, Jamie, I want to bring our first guest on here. We have Amy Dragoo, who I got to meet over the last weekend at the ADA, and we had a good time chatting. And I said, well, you got to come on and tell us what's going on over there, a bit of Britain. Good morning, Amy.
Good morning, Glenn. How are you?
Great. Thank you so much for stopping by. Now, if I am remembering right, Bit of Britain was nominated for an ESMA, right?
Yes, category 15. This is our first time for Tack Shopper Salary.
Okay, cool. So vote for Bit of Britain, too.
Woohoo!
Category 15. Well, Amy, you guys are doing something really cool over at Bit of Britain right now, and I want you to tell us a little bit about what you're doing, and then we'll talk about why you're on today. But you're doing a series of product videos.
Yeah, we basically recognize that not everyone can get into our tax store or any tax store, and since most shopping's done online anymore, or from the catalog, we are trying to do our best to give customers the sort of ability to two-dimensionally feel and touch and appreciate our products. So the way we are doing that is via video. And that leads to some fun little outtakes.
Yes, and I got to tell you that I've watched a number of the videos now, and I know that you're the one doing it. So I'm going to compliment you.
Thank you.
Professionally done.
Thank you.
Impressed.
A couple little technical blurps, but we're working through it.
No, you're doing a great job with it. You have the little bottom thirds. You must be using an HD camera because the picture is incredible.
Yeah.
And the sound is good. So many times when companies that try and do videos like this, you must have a wireless mic because it sounds really good.
Yeah, we're a wireless mic. My studio is back in the back of the warehouse, so we've had some fun little noises with our metallic structures. But, you know, it's all working it out.
Well, cool. Now tell us about the video that's coming out today.
Well, we have posted it on bitofbritain.com already. We try and change them out Monday through Friday about 10 o'clock, give or take meetings and various things. But 10's when the store opens, so that's when we sort of go to load them. But you know, not all the products you can keep a straight face promoting. If you had seen Jenny Brannigan's ad-libbed tack up grip spray, that's currently leading our most number of views. And so, you know, you put a video camera in front of people, and they either start to act goofy or they begin to realize what they're actually saying, and that leads to some fun outtakes. So we are dedicating the first Friday of every month to be our outtakes day, thus First Friday Funnies, and today is our debut episode.
I got to watch it, Amy, and it was funny, and I have to say, a little disclosure here. I worked for Bit of Britain for John for 5 years, and so I know him pretty well, and when I was watching the outtakes, I just cracked up because I know how frustrated he was getting trying to get those lines.
The best part is he, you know, everyone here has a good enough sense of humor to be able to laugh at themselves. And
I love Beth. Beth just couldn't control it. And Beth, what's her title there at Bit of Britain?
Beth, what's her title here? She's the glue that holds this place together.
I was just gonna say, yeah, she's the one that keeps it all going. And she's so sweet and she's so lovely. But watching her try and wrap that leg was hilarious. And everybody's going through that.
It was I will admit that I was the first one to roll the Saratoga backwards, but you know, it literally was three takes before we somehow managed to figure it out. Though all of us are active horse people, and I'm not sure if it's taking us out of the barn that you know, fries your brain or what, but it was quite funny. And then to have her pop it out of her hands was just the icing on the cake.
How many times have you done that, Jamie? You go to wrap a leg and you got your bandage wrap there, and you go to wrap and you let go of the bandage wrap and it rolls across the floor and you have to start over. And it was, that was one of the outtakes. It was very funny.
Yeah, we've decided that if you saw our countdown video, there's a Beth hitting her head on her desk when we were doing our customer service video. So it's looking like every outtakes video is going to have Beth laughing hysterically and smacking her head on the desk.
I love this idea, and I love the idea of the outtakes, and for those, you know, I guess you can go see them at bitofbritain.com. Now, I just made a major purchase from Bit of Britain because I had to get some stuff to compete out here at Galway Downs.
Woohoo!
And, yeah, so I go online, and, you know, you're looking at the pictures, and I was like, okay, I need some studs to run around in the grass, and I need the plugs because we're going to get his shoes drilled and tapped, and I need the stuff to put up in there and, you know, keep the dirt out of the stud holes, blah, blah, blah. I need all the stuff. So I purchased a product called the Easiest Studs Yet, or the Easiest Plugs.
Mm-hmm.
And then I bought a bunch of studs. Well, I really would like a video on how to put the dang Easiest Plugs in because
I will add that to our list. We are completely open to customer requests, and I will put that in.
My farrier and I were sitting there with the horseshoes and the plugs going, I don't get it.
That's just to make you feel stupid.
Exactly. I'm like, does it go this way? Does it go, why are they falling out? Wait, hold on. So I do have them in, and I ended up using half of the Easiest Plugs Yet and half your plugs that I then trimmed to be the size of the stud holes.
It's all about working with what you have. 20 years exactly. In journalism has definitely taught me that.
That in the maybe a video, maybe you have this already. When I got here, I bought the little safety tap and all this stuff that, you know, it's supposed to be easy and safe. And when I got here, my girlfriend that competes with me was like, what is that? She had no, she's drilled and tapped and she's going to put in studs and she has no idea how to do it. None.
Ah,
she has no clue. So, you know, do like a simple video on how to put studs in your horse. And then to those who don't know what studs are, then this will sound a lot less weird. What I'm
well, we do have, we did have Sharon White sort of doing a brief primer on what's in her stud box, and but not a detailed explanation. So I will be very happy to add that to the list.
Yeah, and then how to put in the Easiest Plugs Yet just at the end.
Well, it's much easier when you do it in the studio and there's no horse attached to the shoe.
Yeah,
oh, I'm sure. Or your fairy's not staring at you going, I thought you knew how to do this.
Exactly. Exactly. Or your horse is leaning on your back going, oh, this is so much more comfortable.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't think about that, but with studs, if you've never done it before, you know, I'm sure John and everybody at Bird Britain, because they're so used to eventers, they're like, wow, who doesn't know how to put a stud in? But if you've never done it before, you wouldn't know what to do.
Well, you know, it's sort of, you know, you shoot for the median, and, you know, there's definitely the, I mean, it's an intimidating subject. You sort of assume that you should know what it is, you know, if once you're at that point. But there's always a first time, and even if you're extremely experienced, it doesn't always go smoothly. So it's about education.
For all the listeners out there who aren't eventers or who don't know what we're talking about, we are not talking about the male horse. We're talking about little
more
metal
than
things.
Happy if George Clooney would come in and talk about studs with me.
There you go. Shirtless. That's perfect.
Shirtless.
And the door is open.
If I can request him shirtless, that'd be great.
I'll see what I can do. I have that much pull.
Thank you, Amy.
You'll have to settle with Joe and his wig in the start of the video. That's our first step.
I did see that. Yeah, I did see that in the beginning. This is a good video, so you can find it on your website right now?
Yes, it is up on the homepage of bitofbritain.com.
Okay, thank you, Amy, so much for stopping by. We really appreciate it.
You're
welcome.
And
good job with the videos. You're doing a great job.
Thank you. We will be back at our first Friday Funny in March.
Okay, thanks, Amy.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, I just wanted to clarify that for those people out there going, I thought this wasn't a dirty show.
I love it that she's like, we went through what was in her stud box. That to non-horse people, put that on the list of things that sound ridiculous that you just that are bad, just bad. So what these are basically, you know, for those who don't know, cleats that you put, you screw into your horse's shoes so you can then take them out and they don't step on themselves. So you put them in right before you go out to, like, in this case, it's in the grass show jumping arena. It can get pretty slick. So you put some studs in, or cleats, if you will, because I was trying to explain this to my husband. He's like, I don't get it. I'm like, no, you screw them into your horse's shoes. I don't get it. Why don't you just put them in there? And then my farrier, who has done racehorses forever, she's like, why don't you just put a racing plate on? I'm like, no. Let's.
Yeah, we don't want them tripping over it.
Yeah, or grabbing it, and yeah, exactly. So it's definitely unique, and if you don't know what it is, I know they do have a book called The Stud Book, which is a book on studs. The non-dirty kind of studs.
Yeah, that's right. But I'd highly advise you not to search just studs, because
please,
you'll get some interesting websites. Maybe
I did that.
Did you get some interesting websites?
Definitely don't search studs and then click images, because I was looking for pictures of different kinds of studs to use and which sizes I should get, and I clicked on studs and the image search in Google. Oh, God, I don't know what I was thinking. It's really bad. Don't do that.
You probably see lots of pictures of George Clooney with less than a shirt on.
No, I wish it had been George Clooney. But it wasn't. Don't do it. God.
All right, let's take a break here for our sponsor. This show is Kentucky Performance Products, and we're going to be back with Cooking with Reese, who's just back from New Orleans. So we're going to find out how her trip to New Orleans was, and also what she has in store for us. And I'll tell you what, I saw the recipe already, and I think I'm making it tonight. I'm just so hungry for this right now, and I haven't had any in a while, so we're going to be talking about jambalaya. And she got this from the New Orleans School of Cooking. Well, if you're a regular listener to the show, you know we talk a lot about Kentucky Performance Products, and that's because they are a name you can trust to give you the most value for your supplement money. Kentucky Performance Products offer supplements designed to target specific problems that are made with high-quality ingredients included at effective levels. The company's supplements are intended to complement, not compete, with your dressage horse's current feeding program, guarding against oversupplementation, and each product is backed by sound research and the money-back satisfaction guarantee. And today we'd like to talk to you about Nalox, the original equine antacid. It's recommended by veterinarians and leading horsemen as a way of maintaining a healthy stomach, which reduces the risk of ulcers. Nalox can be given daily to horses exposed to stressful conditions or as needed when shipping, competing, or during stall confinement. You know, you can learn about Nalox and all the products at Kentucky Performance Products at kppusa.com. That's Kentucky Performance Products at kppusa.com. You're listening to Horses in the Morning. I am Glenda Geek, and I am in the studio, but Jamie is in her horse trailer at Galway Downs Horse Trials getting ready for you. You ride tomorrow, Jamie? Do you ride today and tomorrow, or just tomorrow?
Today we get to go school, do a stadium round. It's not actually where we're going to be doing stadium, but we get to go out there and practice and jump around. And then tomorrow morning, our time here, California time, I ride. My dressage is at 11:12. My show jumping is at 2:14, and then tomorrow, our Sunday cross country, I ride at 11:07. How's that?
Okay, so it's spread over 2 days. Good, cool.
Yeah.
It's always pushing it. When we went to the one-day events, when you had to do all three in one day, that was always just a hectic day.
Oh, too stressful. Too stressful, yeah, to do all in one day. But, you know, you can do it.
I have an update, a Facebook update here before we go to Reese. Rick Conley jumped in and said, Buell Motorcycles were once a division of Harley-Davidson. Mr. Buell used to be a Harley-Davidson engineer. So he is actually kind of riding a Harley.
When I get the impression of a Harley, I think of, you know, like a ZZ Top looking guy with the long beard, like sitting there with a big belly, and he's just like vroom vroom, and he's just going along at a nice little clip cruising on his cruiser bike down in Daytona, you know.
Yes.
This is not at all what my husband's bike looks like. Not at all.
And Rhonda chimed in and said, I am with Jamie on the bit check. Remember we were talking how they're going to change your bit check down there at the show because of the virus out there in California? And
yeah.
She says, I am with Jamie on the bit check. Bet they have lots of loose horses. We always change from bridle to halter and back in a stall or other enclosed areas for safety reasons. So she agreed with you. And then Sumiko joined in. My brother used to race motorcycles, but he quit when he had his little girl. But very sweet of Chad to ride all the way to Galway Downs just so that he can ride back with you. So,
I know.
Chad's earning more brownie points and more brownie points every day. All right.
No kidding.
Here we go. Let's go to our monthly segment, Cooking with Reese, which seems to come around with regularity. It just seems the months go by so fast. Good morning, Reese.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Okay, good. And, of course, we're talking to Reese Koffler-Stanfield, dressage extraordinaire, here from Lexington, Kentucky, Maple Crest Farm. And you've had a chance, you were invited to go down to New Orleans with the Pony Club annual meeting, right?
That's exactly right. We just got back on Sunday, and I had a great trip. My mom came with me, and, you know, it's really fun to spend some time as a grown-up with your parents, because then you kind of learn, you know, your parents are real people, which is fun. So we went shopping and ate and drank and, you know, laughed, and we had a really, really great time. So New Orleans, definitely go.
Now, Jennifer said that you took a cooking class?
Yeah, we went one of the mornings, I did a workshop on freestyles. My workshop was in the afternoon, and we decided we were going to go to cooking class. So we went to the New Orleans School of Cooking, and it was
wow.
So fun. I highly recommend it. If you're in New Orleans, we had the cutest chef. He was the Big Kevin, I think was his name, and he was precious. He was he gave his demo, and he did jambalaya, he did gumbo. We learned how to make pralines. And bread pudding, which is an addition Kentucky. So I knew how to do the bread pudding one, but it was just really cool to hear him and, kind of see what he did. And he told stories, and he was great. It was a really fun thing to do.
Cool.
Wow, I'm jealous. That sounds fun.
Oh, it was great. It was great. It's in the French Quarter if anyone ever wants to go do it. And it was very reasonably priced for the class. And you know, then you ate and they brought beer. I mean, it was great. It was lots of fun.
Now, you, most people when they go to New Orleans to the French Quarter are getting drunk and taking their tops off. You were at cooking class.
Well, I did not take my top off. I will tell you that right now. But we did hit Bourbon Street a couple of nights. It was fun. Now I did have a couple of my students with me, so we were pretty tame on Bourbon Street, but we certainly had the experience, and it was lots of fun.
Seriously,
yeah.
when you go somewhere and you're basically responsible for half the pony club, don't get drunk and take your top off.
That's you know, I know, my standards are kind of high. So,
yeah.
But no, there was none of that.
I'm loving it because being from Georgia, we call it New Orleans. It's New Orleans, and y'all are saying New Orleans, and then if you live there, they say Nollins.
Yeah, exactly. It's kind of like Louisville here. People from here say Louisville, and then people that aren't from here say Louisville, and they're like,
Or Louisville.
Whatever.
Yeah, exactly.
It was fun.
Well,
it was great.
We all say jambalaya the same way, don't we? We all say that the same way.
We do. So this was one of the recipes. So, of course, when we went to cooking class, I'm like, oh, my gosh, this would be perfect for my Cooking with Reese segment. So the good thing about jambalaya, Jamie, for you is you can really add whatever or take out whatever, or, you know, you can make it for your husband and keep the chicken out if you want to make it. You know, so it's very easy to kind of make it the way you want. And that's what that's what our chef told us. And he's like, you know, this is the recipe, but once you sort of get the basic recipe, add whatever's in your fridge. And I was like, okay. So the recipe starts out with one fourth of a cup of oil. And he said, do not use olive oil for this one. You need to use some other type of oil, either vegetable oil or corn oil. One cooked chicken cut up 1.5 pounds of sausage. Then this is what? This is a big one in New Orleans with the Trinity. And it's 4 cups of chopped onions, 4 cups of chopped celery, and 2 cups of chopped green pepper.
And basically that's the Holy Trinity in New Orleans, because that particular combination of three things is put in every dish they make.
Yeah, exactly. Like the recipe I have for gumbo, which I could also put on my website, it starts out the same way. You could actually do both of them and cut up all the, you know, if you have a child that likes to cut, which unfortunately I don't, so I have to cut it myself. So it's a lot of chopping, but, you know, that's what I need to shoot.
Can I add something here? We were talking about this with a friend the other night. What we do, because peppers are so expensive at the store right now, green, red, yellow peppers, what we do is we buy them when they're on sale, and I'll buy 10 of each, let's say, when they're on sale. And then I chop them up into cubes, into about half-inch cubes, and then we freeze them and just in a Ziploc bag. And I'll have a huge bag of peppers chopped up, and they freeze really well, and they don't get mushy when you cook them then. They're good.
Yep. We actually, when we had our garden this summer, I did some of that. I cut them in fajita for fajitas, and great. So that's a great thing, too, if you have a garden, because you get so many peppers, you just get to the point, you're like, oh, my God, I can't give enough of these away or eat enough of these or whatever. So, but, yeah, you can definitely do that. And then 1 tablespoon of chopped garlic, 4 cups of long grain rice. I have that in my notes underlined. The long grain rice is important. He was explaining there's like 3 or 4 categories of rice. But for jambalaya, you want long grain rice. 5 cups of stock, and he used chicken stock, but you could use whatever stock you had, he said. Jamie, for example, you could use vegetable stock if you wanted. And 2 heaping tablespoons of Joe's Stuff seasoning. That was their seasoning from the shop, but any kind of New Orleans blend would be fine. And then 2 more cups of chopped green peppers or tomatoes. He added both, actually, at the class. But, again, that's optional. You don't have to do it. All right. So this is the procedure. This is what it took him a long time to explain, which was really helpful. So I will try and do it justice. You season and brown the chicken, and you cook the chicken, and you add the sausage to the pot and saute it with the chicken. You're going to remove both from the pot. So then you're going to start doing your roux. This is really important. So what you do is for brown jambalaya, it depends on how brown you want to make your roux, and it just depends. They have different, you know, caramel or mocha. He had different ways of describing it. I'm just going to be happy if I don't burn it when I try, because the big thing, as we know, you cannot walk away from the stove when you're doing this roux. And what he explained was it can take 10 minutes and it can take 30 minutes. It just depends on. But you cannot walk away from the stove. So that's a hard thing in my life. So that's a big thing. So you're going to add 1 heaping tablespoon of brown sugar to hot oil and caramelize to make a roux. You can also cheat and use kitchen bouquet, which is the cheating version of the roux. Then you're going to...
Okay. I'm just following along.
Oh, you're all into it. You're following me.
That's right.
All right. I know. Thanks. Okay. So for red jambalaya, you add paprika for color. So step 3, saute in vegetable oil the onions, celery, green peppers, and garlic to the tenderness that you desire. Return chicken and sausage to the pot and add liquid, the stock, and Joe's Stuff and bring to a boil. If you're using the kitchen bouquet for the jambalaya, which is sort of the cheating version, which is totally fine, it's all going to be yummy. For red jambalaya, add approximately 1/4 cup of paprika, and you may want to use 1/4 cup or 1/2 cup of tomato juice or V8 for your liquid. Then start here. Add your rice.
That's going to give it more of a tang if you add that.
Yep, a little bit more tang. Yep. That he did not do that in the class, but it was in the recipe he gave us. So he just did it the first way. Without the kitchen bouquet. The kitchen bouquet, I think, is the, you know, if you're like me and have limited time sometimes for dinner, you can make it and it'll be yummy. And so you're going to add your rice and return to boil and cover and reduce heat to simmer. Cook for a total of 25 minutes. After about 10 minutes of cooking, remove the cover and quickly turn the rice from top to bottom because you don't want to burn that bottom. And add your green onions and chopped tomatoes if you desire. So, there you go.
Yeah, actually, you know, it's not that hard to cook jambalaya. It's the most important part is the one you stressed there. It's getting that roux right because that's your flavor.
Yeah. Yeah, he was hardcore on that.
I never knew Kitchen Bouquet was shortcut roux because I can't make a decent roux to save my life. I'm going out and buying some of that.
I have never used Kitchen Bouquet, so I can't tell you, but it's in my recipe from class. So I have no personal. personal experience with it, but because usually if I make jambalaya, it's coming from a box, to be perfectly honest. So I'm excited to try it from scratch. And it's really not that hard.
You know,
for those that
don't know what that is, Kitchen Bouquet comes in a little yellow bottle. I remember my mom having it. God, this Kitchen Bouquet's been around forever. She had a little bottle, and I don't know that she ever used it for anything. And it says Kitchen Bouquet on it, the browning and seasoning sauce is what it is.
I had no idea what that was. Y'all have been speaking another language for like the last 10 minutes.
Now, Jennifer, I got to tell you, Reese, there's a great, for those that are coming in for Rolex or come into Lexington, there is a terrific restaurant that makes great jambalaya. What's it called, Jennifer? Now, we like.
It's downtown. It's called Bourbon and Toulouse.
And it's a dive.
It is
a little dive. The tables are divey. The chairs are divey. The floor is divey. And there's these two guys behind the counter, and all you can get is jambalaya and a couple other New Orleans dishes, and it's the best stuff. It's so good.
Yeah, it's great. That's a great place. We have another one, too, and I'm trying to remember the name as well. It's off of Harrisburg Road for everybody coming for Rolex. And it's the same kind of thing. Like, it's kind of divey, but the food's great. But it's really fun, and you can serve a ton of people with this. You could really, this would be great for a Mardi Gras party or a Barnes & Noble.
Yeah, Super Bowl,
Super Bowl, this would be perfect for Super Bowl. It would be great. You could kind of make it a little bit ahead, and people can just, it's good for hours, So once you have it heated and cooked and, again, you could add more vegetables or different meat. He was great. I mean, he said, look, this is just kind of the basic recipe, and then you kind of go from there.
We actually add red peppers, and I like to chop up carrots, and I like to put carrots in there because it adds a little sweetness to it.
Yeah, I was going to say, that would be yummy.
Yeah.
And we always have carrots in my barn fridge.
Jamie's a vegetarian. Do you guys like in dishes like this, you said cook the vegetables the way you like them. I'm just curious, Jamie, do you like your vegetables soft or do you like them a little crunchy when they're in stuff like this?
I would have to go with crunchy. Not like raw, but I don't like eating anything squishy. Like, I hate mushrooms because they're squishy. So I have to go with a little when I steam broccoli, like, for our dinners a couple nights a week, and my husband and I almost have to do it separately now because he likes it to where it is so cooked, he just basically has to put it in his mouth and swallow it because he doesn't really
like it.
I like, really?
Yeah.
Really?
I like
Ew, yeah, no, I like texture. I want to see, yeah. I want it to, I like my vegetables a little more crunchy.
You guys are a little more el dante.
You stab it with the fork, and it doesn't. You can't even pick it up because it just like breaks apart. Yeah,
that's it.
Gross.
I'm with you, Jamie. And Travis, he's a good sport. He kind of eats it the way I. That's always a good thing if you're doing the cooking because you can make what you want and make it the way you like it. I don't think I've ever given him a choice.
Yeah, and you know what? I'm learning because, I've only been married, about a year, to almost, well, it'll almost be 2 years in the spring. And I learned in the first year, I was like, honey, what can I get you? What do you want? Can I do this? Would you like some of this with that? Would you like that? Now I don't even ask because usually he gives me the wrong answer. So now I just turn my plate.
That's good. That's good. I like it.
Yeah. I don't want your opinion. I'm just going to do it the way I'm going to do it, whether you like it or not. And he's like, wow, this broccoli's really crunchy. And I'm like, uh-huh. Yep, it is.
I like it. Good. That's right. That's the way we're going to have it. If you're nice, Jamie. I would say, would you like me to put it back in the microwave, or you can walk the 4 steps to the microwave if you want?
I think Jennifer's learned. Jennifer, you kind of like it more done, too. You're sort of like me, aren't you? Or have I been getting it wrong all these years?
I like them a little bit al dente, but I've learned because you do all the cooking, it's your way or the highway. I just don't bring it up, and I eat them the way you cook them.
Aww.
See?
That's really sweet.
That's because I would say, well, then you cook it, and she doesn't want that. So.
And see, it doesn't work the other way around, people. If I cook, I have to cook it the way Glenn likes it. Otherwise, it's just not a happy house.
Well, that's the way it
really, it's not sweet is why Jennifer does this, Reese. It's under penalty of starvation.
Yes.
Is what it is. So
I understand. I get it. I totally understand.
I like to do
because I do the cooking,
when I do the cooking, too, and when I'm cooking and he doesn't like something, I say, hey, while you're up, grab me a beer.
Yeah. I like it. Well, we have a funny story in my house. My dad, who, if anybody knows my dad, he is the nicest man on the planet. He's so sweet. And he very rarely will have an opinion on anything that's not that important. He just sort of goes along, and he's so nice about that. And my dad is a great listener, so he'll probably tune in later to the segment because he loves the show, by the way. He's my biggest fan on the radio. So, hi, Dad. He loves it. So he's going to be so embarrassed I'm telling this story on him. So my mom, I don't remember exactly the circumstance, but my mom had made asparagus. It was in the spring, I'm sure, and I don't remember if they had a party or something, but there was a lot of leftover asparagus. So we had it like 3 nights in a row, probably. I don't even remember exactly. And finally, my dad just had enough, and he had never, ever told anybody he hated asparagus. And he just like slammed his hand on the table and said, I hate asparagus. Why do you keep cooking it? Poor guy. So we laugh every time we have asparagus because we're like, Dad, is this okay? Because he hates it. And so my mom, of course, it's a nice vegetable, and she'd make it at every nice event or get it. And she thought for, 25 years he liked it. And finally, he just had enough asparagus.
That's a good husband right there.
That's my awesome dad,
years.
Too. Yeah.
You wrap it in bacon, then it's almost edible.
It's okay. But I did tell Travis when we got married, I'm like, because I can't remember if Travis was there, but he certainly knows the story. And I said, please don't be the asparagus husband. If you don't like it, tell me and I won't cook it again. But if you don't tell it me, you're going to have asparagus for 25 years. Because I don't know.
Don't be the asparagus husband. I love that.
Yeah, don't be the asparagus husband. So my dad is just the kindest guy. But now we don't have asparagus as much in my house.
Love it.
So that's a funny story.
That's a great line for horse husband. Don't be the asparagus husband.
Asparagus husband. Exactly. Like, if you don't like it, tell us. Because if not, we're going to kind of do our thing, So, yeah. It's a good thing.
Well, that's great. Thank you, Reese, for joining us.
You're
we really appreciate it. This is a great recipe. Now, you really got me hungry for jambalaya tonight, so I think I know what I'm making.
Oh, are you going to make it? Nice.
Yeah, I think I'm going to make
it. That's awesome.
I'll add some twists to it because I always do. I can't follow a recipe to save my life.
Yeah,
I always want to add my own twist. But this is great.
Absolutely. Well, great.
Thank
you, guys had a wonderful day. Jamie, I think I heard you're at a horse show. Good luck.
Thank you. Appreciate it. I'll let you know, and then I'll consult with you to improve my dressage score.
Absolutely. Anytime. We're about ready to start our show season here. We're pushing ever closer. So good luck, and have a great time, and be careful.
Thank you.
All right. Bye, guys. Have a great weekend.
Bye, Reese.
That's Reese Koffler Stanfield. You can find her recipes and information about her farm and pretty pictures of her riding great dressage horses at MapleCrestFarm.com. That's MapleCrestFarm.com, and we really appreciate her stopping by every month. Well, this song today is brought to you by Pocket Stable. Now, you told me earlier in the week that you actually used your Pocket Stable in preparation for the show, didn't you?
I did. I had to find out when Jet was done last because I needed to get him done as close to the show as possible. And so I consulted with my Pocket Stable and said, okay, well, he'll be at 5 weeks yesterday. So I went ahead and had him done a little bit early because he's usually about every six. But I had him done. And then yesterday, I would like to let you know that my farrier texted me because I was on the way here. And she said that Joe Montana was perfect for his first trim.
Yay!
So good. I plugged Joe Montana being the new horse. I realized he wasn't in my Pocket Stable, so I pulled out my phone, my iPhone, and I enlisted. He's officially part of the family now that he's in Pocket Stable. So he's in there, and he got trimmed yesterday, and all the rest of the horses got done, so I was smart enough to update it and, you know, keep everybody current in the Pocket Stable, and I put in his vaccine dates from when he was in jail, when he got his shots. So all that's in there. And seriously, people, this will help you track everything, and it's only $3.99. It is an iPhone app that is $3.99, and it keeps record for everything. When did he get shot last? I don't remember. Let's see. And you just pop up your iPhone app. There it is. And then you call a farrier going, I'm late. Get over here and shoot my horse. So it's very handy. Go to PocketStable.com, or you can find it the app Pocket Stable in your app store.
I have a song for you today, Jamie, and this is dedicated to you and your adventures this weekend.
Broadway show. Hold on and don't let go. It's time to ride. This ain't no screw your game. Need courage to take the pain. 8 seconds to make your name. It's time to ride. Show 'em what you're made of. Show 'em what you got inside. Got inside. What are you afraid of?
beautiful morning. Oh, what a beautiful day. I've got a beautiful feeling. Horses are coming my way. You're listening to Horses in the Morning.
Well, that song gets you revved up, Jamie. You ready to go?
All I was thinking is, I want to go ride. I want to go ride. And then I heard the magic line in that song, and I would like to say, and I hope that is not dedicated to me, because she talks about staying on for 8 seconds is a really long time. And I'm like, I hope I stay on for longer than 8 seconds. Holy cow.
Well, I love the first line, too. Ready to go to the rodeo. I thought you'd appreciate that.
Yeah, thanks very much. Thanks very much.
This show is brought to you by Kentucky Performance Products. You can find all of their great products at kppusa.com. Our Horse Radio Network show highlights for the day are two of them, actually. The Eventing Radio Show. Chris did. She's still hanging out down there in Wellington. I don't think she's coming home, Jamie. She said yesterday, I'm going to stay another week. And she's having a blast. And she said she keeps posting pictures of palm trees on her Facebook page. So I think she's enjoying it a lot. Eventing Radio Show episode 179 is called Olympic Champions. And she had Barcelona double gold medalist Australian Matt Ryan on. And she's kicking off a new series of Olympic champions as part of the countdown to the London Olympics. So she's getting some of the past Olympians on. And going to be doing that over the next couple of months leading up to the Olympics. So take a listen to that. And then also the Stable Scoop radio show, Helene and I did. It was the Small Training Business Roundtable. And we had a roundtable show with Viola Grabowska of Aspire Equestrian in England was on, and Nora Harris of Norris Harris Equestrian in Rhode Island. And we had this roundtable discussion on the pluses and minuses and the challenges and some helpful hints on running a small training business and how they do it. So that was a great conversation. I really enjoyed it. So if you're running a small business, go ahead and check that out at stablescoop.com. We're going to be getting to Robert Kellerhouse here very shortly, the founder and organizer of the Galway Downs event that Jamie's at. But until he gets on the line, there's something, a headline that we both saw that we kind of both don't know how we feel about it, and it'd be very interested to know how the listeners feel about it. But I remember this from my childhood. We didn't live too far from Atlantic City, and we would go down there as a family every once in a while to go to Atlantic City. That was pre-casino. That's before the casinos were at Atlantic City. And they have what's called the Steel Pier, and it was your typical pier at a city on the off the boardwalk where they had rides and all kinds of stuff. But they also had something called the diving horse. And everybody's seen pictures of this with the horse diving off this diving board, like three stories up into a pool of water.
Hold up. Those of us that know about the diving horses that are female know about it because of the movie Wild Hearts Can't Be Broken. It's the tale of a young girl who has nowhere to go, and she finds, stumbles into the show with the Websters or the Carvers, and joins on as a stall cleaner when the other diving girl has managerial differences with Mr. Carver. She quits, and Sonora gets the role as the diving girl. And so she becomes the diving girl and trains this gray horse all by herself. And she and the guy who was in, I can't remember his name right now, they end up falling in love, and they get married. And then she jumps off, and she doesn't close her eyes, and she kept her eyes open into the water. She finished the show, and then she realized that she was blind, and she was blind for life. They had to hire somebody else back, and then she comes back because she thinks she can do it, and she starts diving blind, and nobody ever knew.
Can't honestly say I've ever seen that movie.
What? You've never seen Wild Hearts Can't Be Broken? It's like a classic horse flick.
Okay, don't tell me it's a comedy. I got flamed pretty good yesterday about Groundhog Day. That definitely sounds like a chick flick to me. I'm going to be right on this one.
Oh, God. This is a chick flick, though. Wild Hearts Can't Be
Broken.
That's
what I mean. This one sounds like a chick flick.
Yeah, it is. You've got to watch it, though, because it gives you the whole history kind of on Sonora Webster Carver and her whole kind of journey as becoming a diving girl. And so what's frustrating about this news story is that they're bringing the diving horses back. They're revamping Atlantic City. They're trying to get, you know, more money into the city by spending some money and trying to create some attractions. They're building rides. They're building all this stuff. And they have decided that they're going to bring back the diving horses. Now, this is a question I pose to listeners because I am so torn, and I know you are too, and Jennifer is as well, is, boy, I'd really like to see that. But, boy, I really don't want to see that. You know what I mean?
Like, I know exactly what you mean. I don't know how I feel about this one. It's like, how do you teach the horse to do that the first time? And, you know, they might come back and tell us, well, the horses really enjoy it. He loves doing it. It's fun. It's as fun as it is for him as it is for us to do it. And I'm going, but the first couple times, how do you do that? You push them off? You know, I don't know.
I got to say, there's probably like some sort of like way that they do, you know, it's 1 foot off the ground, then 2 foot off the ground, then they start to learn how to dive in. But, you know, in the sport of eventing, we do some really crazy crap with our horses, but I guarantee you, my horse would not do it if he didn't want to. I mean, there's a million different ways that he could say no, and he really enjoys it, and that's why he goes out and he does it. Now, I would think that the diving horses would not do this if they didn't want to, and I was reading some of the history about it before the show, and they were saying that, you know, the Carvers, the people that the movie was made after, actually did a really good job taking care of their horses, but apparently after they quit doing the shows, there was some seedier individuals that would come out there and they had some problems with like cattle prods. This is alleged. So, you know, if it's done right and honestly and the horses like it, great. I think, you know, it's like a job for a horse. It's something that they can do. But if it's not done correctly, then I don't want to see it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean. Now, I want to know, because I didn't see the movie and I've only ever seen the old videos, you know, even black and white ones of the horses jumping, and you only ever see them when they're jumping off. Do they have to climb the little ladder to get up there? How does that happen?
God, how have you not seen this movie? Okay, so there's somebody, she walks up the ramp. There's a huge ramp that goes from all the way up. So the horses actually are held down below at the side of the ramp, and they're like, they want to go. And so they let go of the horse. It gallops up to the top of the ramp. As it gets up to the top of the ramp, Sonora was standing there in her little bathing suit and arms up in the air like jazz hands, you know, after she finished the gymnastics. And she would stand there, and then she would grab hold of, it was almost like a surf single with handles, and she would grab hold, throw her leg up, take one stride, and the horse would dive off. And it was that quick and that easy. And so there was no stairs for him to climb. He was actually coming towards it at a canter.
Ah, okay. All right.
Yeah.
I couldn't see him climbing up the ladder. I just didn't know how that would be the sight to see, actually.
Well, like, they're not sitting there on the edge of a diving board like, one, two, and they're going to, like, do some, like, toe touch while they're on the way down. No, it wasn't like they weren't standing still. They were coming at a canter up the ramp. God, go see that movie. Wild Hearts Can't Be Broken. Horse people, please, get on our Facebook page. And who has seen the movie? Who has not? I've got to know. I'm not the only crazy horse person that's seen this. No, I can't be. Everybody's seen it, except for you. Jennifer, have you seen it?
Oh, she's actually, I think she's on a call right now.
Oh.
I don't know if she's seen it either, but that would be a good question of the day. Jennifer, the question of the day is, how do people feel about the diving horses coming back to the Steel Pier? They're going to spend $102 million. To upgrade the steel pier down there. And they need to do something.
I don't think all those millions are going just for the diving horse.
No, not
I think they're spending
the
$50 on that. Yeah.
Jennifer, have you seen the movie?
I have not. I remember when that came out some time ago, but no, I've not seen that.
Oh, you got to see it. Put it on your list.
Put it on the Netflix list.
Yep. On your queue.
Put it in the queue.
Well, Jamie, we're having trouble getting a hold of Robert. We keep getting his machine, so, you know, I'm sure he's kind of busy out there
probably
right now,
busy
too.
Probably busy organizing.
Yeah, the show going
early
on today. We'll give them another try in a couple of minutes, and if we can't get a hold of them, then we'll let you just go feed your horse and get on with your day.
That sounds good. I could go ahead and ask some of the questions to you that I was going to ask Robert.
Okay, sure. I'll give you some answers. Yeah.
Okay. So Robert Kellerhouse,
yes,
welcome Jamie. To Horses in the Morning. Please tell me a little bit of the history of Galway Downs.
It is a facility that has been around for, let's say, 20 years. Hold on. Let me go look it up. I'm the founder of Galway Downs, but I have no idea how long it's been around. And you know what I just noticed is our website doesn't even tell us that either. We really need to fix that on the website. There's nowhere on. I could tell you. Wait a minute. I found a press release. What do you want to know? Clayton Fredericks has a clinic coming up next week.
Next weekend. Oh, my gosh. I wish I was going, but I just cannot make this drive, you know, three times in a month. So I would love to see it.
What division are you in, Jamie?
I am in Senior Novice Rider.
Senior Novice Rider. Let's take a look at that and see who you're up against. Let me see if I recognize any of these names. Jamie, there's Jamie Jennings.
Yeah, you won't recognize any names because it's the rider. No professionals in this one. No, advanced riders.
You owe $15 for your coggin, by the way.
I short $15 because I can't do the math, and I did not send a copy of my coggins with my entry. So that's what I am a little behind.
All right.
Thanks very much.
Let's talk horse names that are in your division. That sounds like fun. We have Connie riding Surprise Package. We have Marguerite riding Flight Marshal. We have Roxanne riding Malibu Slew. I like that. That's a cool name, Malibu Slew. What do you think they call them? Slew? I think you call them Malibu or Slew?
I don't know.
We got a Vanessa in there. We have Comic Strip Hero. I wonder if he's going to be like Batman or Superman or Spider-Man.
Comic Strip Hero. I wonder if they'll have like a saddle pad with like a Superman logo. That'd be awesome.
That'd be cool. And then there's another one called DeLuna. And that's kind of boring. And then there's Fighter Jet. I know we know who rides that one. How about With a Little Luck? Kiara rides one called With a Little Luck. And Kathy's riding Kazar. We have Christine riding Mr. Mikey.
That's my friend.
And, oh, yeah?
That's my girlfriend. She rides at Barb's Barn with me. And she and I are actually back-to-back every single time. So we get to do everything together this weekend. So it'll be fun. That Mr. Mikey and then there's one other. Madison is her horse. Who's her horse that she's riding in this division?
I'm looking. I don't see a Madison.
It's there.
Okay. Must be on the schedule here because that's all I... And then, okay, so that, we've got Lisa riding In the Mist. Nancy riding Denver's Jovial Laugh. That sounds
good. I like that one.
Yeah, Denver's Jovial Laugh. That sounds pretty. Probably a pretty bear. So probably a redhead. I'm predicting a redhead. Suzanne riding Cabernet. Oh, she's in wine country. Amy riding Africa's Secret. Oh, Amy owes $56. She better pay it. Tris is riding Free to a Good Home.
Isn't that the greatest horse name ever? The horse's name is Free to a Good Home. Awesome.
Oh, and Chris is also riding One Hot Mama.
Love it.
And so what, she's got One Hot Mama, Free to a Good Home.
That's so great.
All right, Jennifer, did you have any luck?
Nothing. I think he's either turned off of his phone, knowing we were trying to track him down, dealing with the fact that one of the jumps now has to be removed from the cross-country course, or sleeping, one of the three.
Okay, well, as everybody can tell, we're down to reading the names of the horses that are in Jamie's class.
End the pain, please. End it.
Let's call it a day. Jamie, good luck this weekend. We'll be looking for updates on Facebook, so keep us informed.
Okay. I don't have any internet, but I'll try to post something on using my phone. So I'll let you guys know. Just an easy, relaxing, just going to school today, and then tomorrow's a big day. And I just want to thank everybody for the support. You know, it's just just riding novice, but I'm sorry. This is such a big deal to me. And to take this horse where I've taken him and to have the kind of fun and support and a great group and to be able to share it with you guys is awesome. So thank you, and thanks, Glenn, for letting me. You know, this is the coolest job ever when I can go to a horse trial and not have to take a vacation day. So thank you very much.
All right. Very good, Jamie. You have fun. We'll talk to you on Monday.
All right. Have a great weekend, everybody. Remember, spay, neuter, and geld.
Hey, and for all the horse husbands out there, remember, you know, don't be that asparagus guy.